Hey everyone, welcome back to A Life of KG. Today I have Rachel on the show, all the way from Canada. She has a teeth whitening brand that she distributes worldwide, and I really wanted to get her on the show, one, because she is a service provider, so she can teach us lots, so she's super successful in business, and secondly, because teeth whitening is a huge business, so it might be something that you fancied adding to your business. So let's have a chat with her. Without further ado, here she is.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train. Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.
Welcome to the Life of KG. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Katie. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very, very well, thank you. Whereabouts are you based?
Yeah, so I'm in Ontario, Canada.
Oh, I love that. I actually haven't been to Canada. It's definitely on my list.
Yes, and the UK is on my list. So we could do like that house swap. Like, what's that movie, The Holiday?
Oh my gosh, that's one of my favorite movies ever. We should definitely do that. Can you keep my kids though? I don't want to take them with me. So give us a little intro. Tell us about you and what you do.
Yeah, so thanks so much for having me on. I'm so excited to chat with your audience, especially because I'm going to be chatting about a topic that I know is a hot one in the UK. So it's going to be a fun one. So I am a trained dental professional. I've been in the dental field since 2015. And in 2019, I started my own teeth whitening company here in Ontario, Canada. So I started it in my home, and then I expanded to a commercial storefront. And what ended up happening was I was getting a lot of questions from either fellow dental professionals or beauty professionals on how to offer teeth whitening. So when I say a teeth whitening company, what I was doing is I was offering chairside teeth whitening services. So clients would come in, see me for a 60-minute whitening session, and then they would have a brighter smile. So chairside whitening. And then as I kept getting these different inquiries about how I was doing what I was doing, what products I was using, etc., I decided to not only have my straight to consumer business, so myself and my employees offering teeth whitening services to the general consumers around us, but I also decided to launch a wholesale company. So we are actually worldwide. We actually have a ton of purchases from the UK, and we sell all of our chairside favorites to our retail line for fellow teeth whitening technicians, so, and dental offices. So we have a mixture of a straight to consumer business. So one line, that's what we call U Whitening. And we actually just launched, we're launching throughout Canada right now, which is super exciting. And then we have our wholesale line, which is, you can, if you are a teeth whitening provider, you can purchase products from us.
So do you still do dentistry now or just strictly teeth whitening?
Just strictly teeth whitening.
What made you stop doing dentistry and just this? Was it just because the business was a success or?
Yeah. So when I did the dental world, I'm a trained dental assistant. And what actually ended up happening was I left the chairside dental assisting life. I was in orthodontics and general dentistry. And I went into dental sales. So I was a dental sales rep for quite a few years. And that was definitely part of my winding road journey where I got to meet different manufacturers. I got to learn about the back end of business margins and, revenue, et cetera. So that was definitely something that really built me getting to owning my own business, because I don't think I would have been able to figure out and navigate some of the business back end if it wasn't for that sales journey when I had left the dental field. And I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs feel this, and ones listening, where I would go in to work, do the daily commute, and I just have this feeling of like, oh, I want more. I'm sick of living paycheck to paycheck. As a dental assistant, I always had to work a second or third job to make ends meet. So if that was serving on the side or working like at a retail location, unfortunately, you know, just the daily 40 hours a week with our base wage here in Canada, it just wasn't paying the bills.
Yeah, it's difficult. Whereas now you don't have to do that. So I actually used to do teeth whitening. And
amazing.
When I opened my salon 14 years ago, I think it was about 6 months into opening, teeth whitening was huge in the UK. And lots of salons used to do it. And then we all got shut down for doing it. And I was gutted because, one, I loved doing it. And secondly, it was a huge money earner and it was so popular. We was literally raking it in. So when they closed us down from doing it, thank God I'd made all my equipment money back and everything. So it wasn't too bad, but it was a real shame. The industry just come to a halt with being able to provide teeth whitening services. And it was just dentistries that were able to do that. And then there come like the home teeth care, teeth whitening products that we could sell, but obviously non-peroxide and all of that. Where does that kind of stand now with people offering teeth whitening?
Yeah, so great question. So here in Canada, it's across all provinces, it's unregulated. So there's no restrictions for anybody. You just obviously have to cover yourself, make sure you carry proper insurance coverage, and also obviously make sure that you're following public health regulations in your area. So like your one-use disposables, proper disinfectants, all that fun stuff. But there's no governing body or regulations. The dentistry world doesn't, you know, try to shut us down in any shape or form, which is great. And then North America as a whole. So then if we jump into the states are, it depends on the state. Some states have higher policies than others. But again, kind of tiptoes in that area of just covering yourself. Again, there's not a body overlooking it because it is an unregulated act. And then we jump into the UK. And the UK, I feel like, is a tricky one because we actually are also working with a lab in the UK to create a formula for a new gel we're launching. And of course, they've kind of given us the rundown on what's going on in the UK. But the funny thing is our sales in the UK don't show that. So I feel like clearly there are still providers offering teeth whitening outside of the office in the UK. Hopefully, I mean, they definitely show us certificates and prove that they have taken trainings, etc. But on the flip side, I'm assuming they are just making sure that they are insurance coverage, etc. But from readings, I have seen that there has been like cease and desist letters, etc., to different providers potentially in the UK. The non-peroxide is very interesting, and it's really sucks, to be honest, because it's hard to get a client a brighter smile without a peroxide-based gel. So it's hard to get somebody to purchase, you know, time with you if you are offering it, or even your take-home products. I can see how it is not as much of a sought-after service anymore if there has been shutdowns. Now, what actually happened? Like, did the dental board like send lawyers out and like try to sue you, or like what did they do?
No, it was more the fact that insurance companies weren't willing to insure those that were doing it in salons as beauty therapists anymore, so we couldn't get insurance, which I then wouldn't touch obviously if we're not insured. But when you go to trade shows or anything like that now in the UK, there's always pop-up stands that are selling teeth whitening for people to be able to do it in salon. My guess is they're saying it's non-peroxide, but I could just be guessing. I'm not sure. Or people just doing it anyway, and there's insurance companies out there that now will insure. So if anyone is interested, just do due diligence before.
For sure.
But obviously you offer in like the home teeth whitening kits as well, don't you? So
yes,
is that
we
what
do.
You're getting into the UK?
So, we definitely do have some beauty providers, different salon or owners, medi spas in the UK that buy our retail line. So our home kits, but they are peroxide based, and our whitening mouthwashes, etc., for our at-home options. But we do have a lot of providers in the UK that buy our chairside gels, that are very high in peroxides. So like you said, I mean, they have to prove to us that they've been trained to provide a safe and effective service, but we do not ask for insurance credentials. So if they are purchasing, we're just assuming they have insurance, because as we know, as a business owner, you want to cover your butt. It would be silly to run a business without proper coverage, right? So I have a feeling that these providers are getting insurance for their peroxide coverages.
Yeah, definitely. It's more the fact, apparently, I don't know if this has changed over the years, most probably has. I think it's more the fact of, as a beautician, we weren't allowed to touch the mouth, whereas we can sell in our salons fine. So we could sell home care kits fine, because the client is going away, regardless, we've got peroxide in, it doesn't matter. We can sell that fine. So that's good to know, because again, in our industry, it's all about adding value, and it's all about adding retail into our business. And retail is just a huge driver, isn't it? And actually, I always say free money, because you're not doing anything for that retail item other than recommended something that you love. So it's, teeth whitening is really, really good to offer. We've always had, up until about a year ago, and I don't actually know why, something happened with the supplier, we always offered home whitening kits. So actually, I'd be really interested in your product, because I'll get them in my salon straight away.
Right. Yes. I mean, I love that you mentioned that. It's that work smarter, not harder, right? It's just an item that isn't taking away your chair time if you are selling retail kits. So yes, our retail line, we actually work with a lab here in Ontario, Canada. It's a dental lab. And we've crafted our formula for our gels and also our mouthwashes. So it's all made here in Ontario. We do try to be as natural as possible. Obviously, peroxides are not deemed a natural. They're a more natural substance than some ingredients, but it still isn't, you know, completely natural. But we do have lots of other items that are like peppermint, leaf extract, as well as aloe. So the nice thing with our whole product line is it really is minimal to no sensitivity. I'm not sure if you kind of want to chat about the different types of peroxides, because that is something that gets really confusing. So how it works is, if you are working with peroxide based products, you can either have a hydrogen peroxide or a carbamide peroxide. And it gets confusing because you can see, say you go to a supplier and you see a 16% hydrogen peroxide and a 44 carbamide peroxide. Right away, you think, holy smokes, I need that 44%. That's the strongest. It's probably going to give my client the best result. But how carbamide works is, it's actually a form of hydrogen and it breaks down a lot slower. So carbamide's actually three times as less strong than a hydrogen. So if you divide that 44 by three, you're around, like, you're at like a 15%. So you're actually equivalent to, if not a little bit lower than that 16% that you could have purchased. So what would be the difference between the two? A hydrogen is going to give you a quicker chairside result because it absorbs a lot quicker through the tooth tubules. And what happens is, we have the different layers to our tooth, and our goal is to get absorption into those tubules, because that's where the stain pigments actually stay and almost get stuck. So what we want to do is, we want to absorb those peroxides into the tubules. So not just on the outside surface. Once we have it on that outside surface, we then want to get it into that next layer to absorb and oxidize that stain away. And then that's going to give you that brighter look. So really common, a lot of technicians will work with hydrogens because it absorbs really quickly. But the downside with hydrogens is since it absorbs quickly, it can give your tooth a sensitivity shock. So this is usually where sensitivity comes into play, is with straight hydrogen products. And then on the flip side, carbamide, it absorbs a lot slower through the tooth tubule, which means that actually when the patient leaves and then like the gel has actually been removed off the tooth, if you're doing chairside with it, it's going to continue to break down for 3 to 6 to 24 hours. So your client's only going to get brighter within 24 hours with a carbamide, but you might not have as much of that quick, like in your face result chair side. So pros and cons to both. Carbamide definitely is no sensitivity. What we personally do and have created with our lab is we've done a blend of the two. So it's like the best of both worlds with our line. But that is how the peroxides work. So say if any listeners are kind of thinking about or offering whitening right now, just understanding the difference between that HP and the CP, because you like that 44% carbamide would be very different compared to a 44% hydrogen. That would be so strong. Your patient would be in so much discomfort, but that carbamide is actually a lot lower and is safe to even use without a gum barrier or like a self-application method, which sounds like is very common. You had mentioned like not touching the client. So those would definitely be the gels you would want to stick with, would be under a 16% equivalent for no gum barrier. And then anything over 16% equivalent, you would want a gum barrier, which then would require you to touch the patient.
Hi guys, my name's Ola Goldsmith. You may have seen me on Dragon's Den with my hair business. I'm now helping hair and beauty business owners grow their business faster with my affordable private members group. At just £7 a month, you can cancel anytime. You'll get access to a private members portal full of resources, training, cheat sheets, and so much more. Plus you'll get access to my private Facebook group where I'll deliver live coaching each and every month. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today.
Interesting. Is there anything else that people should look out for if they're looking to either have teeth whitening done or if they're looking to do it as a business or in their salons?
Yeah, what I would look out for is, unfortunately, with it being such an unregulated industry, there's a lot of misinformation. And I mean, I'm sure you see it in the beauty industry as well with all the different services. There's some great courses and unfortunately there's some not great courses. So really doing your research on reviews and chatting with other techs who have taken that course, make sure that you're spending your money wisely, and then also doing your own research when it comes to different applications too. So for example, in whitening, lots of providers are confused and think that they're using a laser. We don't have lasers in the beauty industry. A dentist is the only person who can purchase a laser. Any of these lights that you see are LED lights, but for whatever reason, marketing has called it a laser. It's not a laser. So that's the first thing, is you're not a laser teeth whitening technician. You are an LED whitening technician. That's one thing to look for. Another thing is, don't go spend an arm and a leg on a light. There's lots of lights on the market that are like $2,000 plus, not needed. At the end of the day, there's lots of actual research studies that show that the lights actually don't do much. So that's been a real marketing thing over the last few years. It's like, I got to sit under that light. Definitely some gels are going to have a little bit of photosensitivity and it is going to help break down those gels quicker, but the light should not be getting you the result that you want. You don't want to dehydrate a tooth. So lights, definitely you don't need to spend a ton of money on a light. Best thing for a light is if you can get a red blue option, if you're doing chairside services, that red light therapy, I'm sure, as you know, is a very common medical, like aesthetic service, is for scarring, etc. Totally helps in the teeth whitening world. If you've accidentally burnt the gums or the lips, you just turn that red light on and sit it under with some vitamin E oil. That's huge. But I wouldn't spend a ton of money on a light. And other than that, it's just making sure that it's a service that you can see yourself providing comfortably, and that you feel that it is something that would be worth your time and effort. Because ideally, you know, it takes up about 60 minutes chair time, and it has to be something that you feel comfortable doing. If a tongue or food debris grosses you out, maybe whitening isn't for you. But at the end of the day, if you are looking to add something, chat with your insurance provider and look into it, because it is very popular and a great income revenue for sure. And your margins are so low, so low.
It's so good, isn't it? Like, right? Oh God, it's so good. It's such a good money earner. No brainer. We used to also, we have sunbeds. Is there lots of sunbed shops in Canada or not really?
Not as much as there used to be, but it used to be a big thing where you would put it in at the same time. Is that still big over there?
Is that just such a massive gimmick, isn't it? Like, put the water teeth on in jail and then smile whilst you're under right? the sunbed. Oh, hilarious.
Too funny. It's crazy what market trends start, right? And then like once it gets started, it's like no one ever stops to think, wait a second. Does that make sense? But it just shows you what happens with marketing.
I know. Great little add-on for those that have sunbed shops.
Right?
So you've obviously been in the service-based industry for a while now, and you must have lots of business tips up your sleeves. Obviously, you said you have a team, etc. Obviously, you've got your shop front. What tips do you have to gain more clientele? Because I think this is a question that I personally get asked all of the time. I just want more clients. I just want more clients. So how would you say is best to build up that client base?
Yeah, it is going to definitely take some trial and error for your specific location. Like say if you are actually in a pretty small town, then you know what? Word of mouth is probably going to be your biggest traction. And that means networking. As much as we hate doing it, sometimes those small towns, that's what you got to do. If you are definitely in a bigger urban area, social media is going to have to be your new best friend. And it's all about learning your hashtags for your location, as well as, you know, unfortunately, spending the money in the advertising, running the ads, boosting the post. That is something you're going to have to do. What we found personally with our service-based business was making connections with businesses that could really elevate their brand with our brand. So for example, when I first started out, I reached out to local photographers in the area and offered them a discount personally, but then also a discount to any of their engagement couples or their bridal parties. Because think those two industries, the engagement and the bridal parties, what do they want? They want bright smiles. So that could be an example for specific teeth whitening or say lashing or hair salon, etc. Think of those industries that are a real highlight to you. So those photographers, what we also worked with a lot were like wedding event coordinators. So we also would offer same thing there. Again, the nice thing with a lot of service-based items in the beauty industry is your margins are pretty low across the board. So you usually have some wiggle room to knock off those discounts to get a little bit of extra traction, and then that word of mouth can happen. So I wouldn't recommend, you know, starting out with a discount for everybody, but if you can make those connections where getting in front of another company's clientele, that will be helpful in the long run.
That's really helpful, because I've always said a lot of us focus on social media, which we have to in business nowadays, that's like a must, but we're focusing on the hashtag point, people just putting all these random hashtags in, but not focusing on local, which is absolutely key. And you can now see on Instagram the insights, can't you, of how much people have seen your posts through the hashtags, which are so, so important. But like I said, the power of local is key. And when we are a bit service based and we're in a certain area, we need to focus on all those other businesses that have the same clientele as us. I actually have never thought of photographers. Like, what a brilliant idea. I've always said, if you're a beautician, connect with a hairdresser, maybe florists, etc. But a photographer's absolutely brilliant idea.
You're like, I'm going to go DM them right now.
Literally, I can't wait to go into my mentoring group and being like, guys, this would be brilliant. Look what Rachel's recommended.
Yes, it went really well. And even like, of course, we were expecting the engagement couples, etc. But we actually got a ton of like boudoir photo shoot, like that kind of clientele. They were super interested in that discount. I feel like photographers have a really big clientele that we always kind of forget about. So yes, they are a great one. And usually most areas have a lot of photographers.
Yeah, there is a lot of photographers, and they're normally booked up a couple of years in advance. So there's clients right there straight away to start promoting to. Fabulous tips. Thank you. And then lastly, if you could give someone advice that's wanting to start a business, what would that be?
I would say really try to do as much research as you can, but at the end of the day, especially in these unregulated industries, you do have to kind of take everything with a grain of salt. For example, when I first started, I was kind of told teeth whitening outside of a dental office was taboo, and I listened to a lot of no's. But at the end of the day, those people telling me no had never actually done it, never actually done the research. It was almost just like an echo chamber. And I definitely held myself back for at least a few months because I was just listening to people that didn't understand what I wanted to do. So I would be your own advocate. That's going to be the biggest one. And give yourself grace. Being a sole entrepreneur, especially first getting started, as you know, there's a million and one things to do. Really focus on those needle movers that are going to help you gain business. Because I mean, there are so many great parts, like your social presence, et cetera. It looks so great and glamorous. But at the end of the day, if your business isn't making money, you're not in business. So really make sure you figure out what is going to pay your bills and focus on those. And then also everything else at the same time, but give yourself grace. And my last piece of advice is, if you can, delegate out what you can. I have seen a huge shift in my business by hiring a virtual assistant, and that has been huge. I mean, you have to figure out when your time is more valuable. And if your strengths is not social media, you can totally hire somebody for that. So if you want your time back and to get some farther traction, if you can, try to delegate out quicker rather than later.
I love delegation. I mean, it's a bit of a joke around my area, as everyone's like, oh, Kate's like the queen of delegation, because I will delegate everything. Sometimes I think, God, am I lazy? But I still find myself ridiculously busy, so clearly not. But I think people get so worried on this point, don't they? Because they think, well, if I'm delegating it out, it means I have to pay for it, and then I don't have the money to do that, or if I'm paying someone, I might as well do it myself. But what was the point that you had where you thought, I need to start delegating now? Was you worried to do that as well?
Yeah. So what I was finding was my to-do list was never ending, and I was getting stuck on those tasks that weren't making me money. So it made more sense for me to pay somebody to do them, so then I could put the focus on those needle movers. So that was huge. And now that I've been able to delegate those tasks that they aren't really money makers, but in the long run, they're still very important to your business. But you need to be smart with where your time is more valuable. So for example, me hiring teeth whitening technicians is because as we grow, me chairside doesn't make sense anymore, right? Like, I'm assuming similar with you, where as your business grows, you have to figure out where it makes more sense for you time-wise. And I never really thought of time as currency until I've been in on this entrepreneurship journey, but time really is currency. So you have to really figure out how much your time is worth and make sure that, you know what, if you have to pay somebody that hour, but you were able to go and do something that was going to put your business one step ahead and quicker, then that was definitely worth that pay.
Yeah, I retired from doing treatments when I was 24. I'm now 33 and I haven't gone back doing treatments since, because you do realize the fact of I can do other things that will bring more money in, whether that's growing the business so it fills the rest of the team up, or whether that's doing my business mentoring or whatever that is. But you do have to work out how much are you worth an hour? What else could you be doing? And then outsource the rest. And I think it was my business mentor, actually. She's like, unless you're doing something that's making you money, then don't do it. Outsource that part.
So good. Yes. Right. And I love that you had kind of mentioned in the beginning, like, you know, we're afraid that we're spending that money elsewhere. But especially say if you're just starting out and, you know, you are working a full-time job and you're only doing your business on the side, I mean, wouldn't it make more sense to take that 1 hour of pay that you accumulated at your full-time job, but while you were working, somebody was working on your business for you behind the scenes? Like, it just, yes, you're going to pay for it, but in the long run, it's going to do wonders for you and move you a lot quicker. So even if you're first starting out, I would try to hire a virtual assistant or somebody to get, say, your socials moving or doing reach outs, just that back end, it will be worth it.
Yeah. Well, whatever you're not great at, get someone else to do it, right? Rather than just doing something because you think you have to do it and then you're not great at it, then it's not working, then you think, I'm just going to throw in the towel. No, just go and outsource that part for sure. So, Rachel, where can people connect with you online? But also, if someone's interested in purchasing your product or they want to bring it into their salons, where do they go for that?
Yeah, amazing. So if you want to see like the day in the life, my personal handle is @mentorrach, and that's a fun handle. We do a weekly live show with fellow teeth whitening techs weekly, so you can learn lots about the business, what's working and not for them, and then also just day in the life teeth whitening tips. And from there, if you're looking to source product and you're interested in our line that's made here in Canada, it is Fern Whitening Supplies. So Fern, like the plant, Whitening Supplies. But again, if you follow Mentor Rach, all the links are there.
Amazing. We will make sure everything's in the show notes really clear so people can just go and click on it. Make sure that you connect with Rachel. If you have any questions, feel free to message her. I'm sure you will be more than open to taking everyone's questions. Give us a like and a follow. Share this episode if you enjoyed it as much as us. And Rachel, thank you so much for giving your time up today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Katie.
You guys that know me know that I love my supplements. It is a must as part of my lifestyle. And I personally use Sky Premium Life. They have a huge range to choose from. So no matter what you're kind of looking for, I'm pretty sure they're going to have. But I personally use the collagen and the hair supplements. And the difference in my skin and hair is absolutely incredible. They are super reasonable, so go and check them out. And if it was something that you also wanted to reach out, you can do that within your businesses. So we've recently brought them within the salon too, so our clients can then buy from us. But you can still just use it yourself, or you can use it in your business. So go and check them out. And there is also a 15% discount code below in the show notes.